from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Earlier this week, Oakland Mayor Libby Schaff announced an agreement between Moms for Housing, Wedgewood Properties, and the City of Oakland, ending the months-long protest by Moms for Housing organizers who had occupied a vacant home in West Oakland owned by Wedgewood. With the agreement, Wedgewood will sell the house to the Oakland Community Land Trust, which intends to fix it up for use by Moms for Housing. And Mayor Schaff also announced that Wedgewood has agreed to give the Oakland Community Land Trust and Oakland's Housing Department first right of refusal for all homes they sell in Oakland. Here with me to discuss the agreement is Mayor Libby Schaff. Actually, she's in Washington, D.C., but welcome, Mayor Schaff. Good to have you.
Yeah, I was going to say good afternoon, but I know it's morning there.
Well, good afternoon if you prefer, or good morning here, but let me get right to the point here. I'm wondering how this came to pass, especially with some alacrity, because Wedgewood was, shall we say, adamant by opposing to what they characterized as essentially breaking the law. So somehow you and Governor Newsom got into it, and we saw a total turnaround. Can you give us the facts? What happened?
Well, you know, I think part of it is getting in touch with the actual principal, not the spokesperson. And so Greg Geiser and I started reaching out to one another around the same time. And we had our first conversation on Thursday after the moms had been really, I think, inappropriately and overly violently evicted from the house. And I have to say that first conversation lasted more than an hour. And I talked to an individual who recognized that there is a housing crisis and wanted to help.
Well, you've said that this is, as you see it, turning a corner on homelessness in Oakland. But we had a lot of pushback when we broached this topic just a couple days ago, actually just yesterday. A lot of people feel, you know, I've played by the rules. I worked hard to buy a house. Why should this be happening in light of that?
Well, let's be clear. This deal is to buy the house at fair market value, at a price not to exceed the appraised value. So this is playing by the rules. The difference is, under this new agreement, Wedgewood is going to be giving the Community Land Trust, and if they're not able to purchase, other affordable housing organizations, the time, the opportunity to be first in line to offer fair market value for this property. Now, I recognize that this protest is really about the commodification of housing, which is a basic human need. And that is a really important conversation. And so I don't pretend that this deal, while I believe it really is historic and heartwarming, is going to solve the housing crisis or homelessness. But it is a step in the right direction. And we have huge disparities in home ownership, particularly by race. Even in Oakland, if you are white in Oakland, you are more than twice as likely to own your home than if you are Black. That disparity is proof of a long legacy of racist policies, of institutionalized racism that we've seen in everything from the foreclosure crisis back to redlining. And so this is an opportunity to recognize those injustices and, you know, turn protest into policy, change some of our policies going forward.
Mayor Libby Schaff with us from the nation's capital. About $12 million has been raised to take homes off of the speculative market and make them permanently affordable. And we're going to talk about how that is done. But I wanted to get your take on how much money is actually coming out of Oakland's coffers, or expected to come out of the coffers on this.
Well, I want to recognize Councilmember Nikki Bass. She was someone who, during the last budget process, created a very express set-aside for community land trusts to utilize our affordable housing dollars. A lot of our affordable housing dollars are the ones that our voters approved with Measure KK. We're about to issue our final tranche of $100 million that Oakland voters approved for affordable housing. I also want to recognize Rob Bonta, our assembly member. He really played a critical role in bringing the parties together. He had a lot of trust with ACE, who was representing the moms, as well as with my office, and really served as a bridge between the parties.
We're going to find out more about community land trusts. In fact, Steve King is here with us, the studio executive director of the Oakland Community Land Trust. But before I let you go, Mayor Schaff, We have Mayor London Breed of San Francisco backing Mike Bloomberg for the presidency, for the nomination of the Democratic Party, and Bloomberg was here in Oakland recently. Are you joining Mayor Breed, endorsing?
Bloomberg didn't even ask me for my endorsement when I was there. I don't want to make it seem like, you know, I met with him and decided not to. I had been very clear before the visit. I am a huge fan of Michael Bloomberg. He has done so much for cities everywhere, including for Oakland. I, however, do not want to endorse in the primary. I want to keep my eyes on the prize, and that is getting rid of Donald Trump. In fact, I have the incredible opportunity to actually sit on the Senate floor later today as a guest of Senator Feinstein to watch the impeachment proceedings. But assuming that that is not successful in removing this horrible president from office, I want the Democratic Party to stay united and focused on that ultimate goal. So I am not doing a public endorsement until we have a Democratic nominee.
Well, good to have you with us. I appreciate very much you being with us this morning, and I hope you have a little fun in the nation's capital while you're there. It's not exactly the greatest weather to have.
I'm working very hard. It's a very productive time. It's the U.S. Conference of Mayors, lots of great ideas. It's wonderful to be with my colleagues from throughout the country, and let me tell you, I'm working hard for the people of Oakland over here in the nation's capital.
Thank you, Libby Schaff. It's Mayor Libby Schaff, and this agreement has raised many questions about how community land trusts work, so we thought we'd do an explainer here, and joining me now to help us better understand them is Steve King, Executive Director of the Oakland Community Land Trust. Welcome.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate you having me.
I appreciate your being here. Let's find out how they work. I mean, for example, Oakland has become, in some ways, a model. We can talk about other land trusts. There's a big one out in West Marin, for example, and there are, I believe, right now about 250 community land trusts throughout the country. But from your perspective, people may have a hard time understanding just how this works in terms of giving permanent, affordable housing.
Sure. Yeah. So I think I'd like to start with just giving a little bit of the history of where the Community Land Trust came from. In 2019, we actually celebrated the 50th anniversary of the first Community Land Trust. It was formed in Southwest Georgia in the town of Albany, a direct outgrowth of the Civil Rights Movement. And they're really establishing a new model of tenure, African-American farmers coming together to establish this new model in response for being kicked off their land in retaliation for registering to vote. So deep roots in the civil rights movement and creating this a model of communal land ownership. So the community as a whole owns the land in common and leases what happens above the land.
But then in the 80s and 90s, things turned to the cities pretty much.
That's right. The model is really taken off in the urban context. There still are rural community land trusts, and certainly we have open space and conservation land trusts that preserve open space and wilderness. But the community land trust model in urban areas has really been developed coming out of the experience of new communities in Georgia to acquire and steward land for the perpetual benefit of low-income individuals, providing secure access to that land for folks that have historically been denied access to the privilege of ownership.
So just dovetailing what you said here, it's like the conservation or open space land trusts. I mean, they preserve the wilderness. These want to essentially ensure cities that will be permanently supporting acquirable housing opportunities and access to land for low-income residents. We'll get into some of the details more here in a moment, but a lot of the criticism has said that this doesn't necessarily follow a pattern of the people in the community staying with it. They become too dependent on board members and professionals, at least so the argument goes, and maybe a couple of generations will go by and then they can't sustain.
Well, no, I don't see that being the case for our community land trust and for many others. A key component of the governance of the organization is having active and deep roles for the residents that live on the community land trust, as well as residents that live in the neighborhoods that we work in. So at least 2/3 of our board are comprised of Oakland residents that are either direct beneficiaries of the land trust or neighbors of those residents. So we really lift up that as a core value of enacting the decision-making authority of the actual residents that are the beneficiaries of the work.
Well, the Moms for Housing will be moving into this house on Magnolia Street when? And it's being fixed up with funds, I guess, for maintenance too? So are they in there now? Or are they going to stay
in? No, they're not there. The house needs a lot of work. It's in really poor condition. We don't have a determined timeline yet. We're just starting the discussions with Wedgwood on what that transfer might look like. So there's still a lot that remains to be seen in terms of what that's going to look like.
There's a kind of division that I noticed when this topic first came up between those who feel, you know, that there's these predatory housing development companies that come in and they buy and they flip. But there's also a concern that I expressed to Mayor Schaff, and I'd like to hear what you have to say about this, Steve, that, you know, as I said, many people feel they struggle long and hard to buy a home. And now you have people who moved into a home, said they had squatters' rights, housing is a right. Nobody disagrees with that, but now they have a home. They have a residence.
Yeah, I think it's challenging to just focus specifically on what the moms have done and really the courage they took or that took in their context to actually shine a light on the speculative activity that is really wreaking havoc on low-income neighborhoods in Oakland. And it has been happening for generations, but really accelerated in the aftermath of the foreclosure crisis.
So where does this go next? I mean, in terms of the trust, where do you see it going? I mean, and we talked to Dominique Walker, who is one of the Moms for Housing, and she said, we're setting up headquarters there. This is a movement.
That's certainly an option. We're really leaving open the final disposition of the property. You know, we're concerned about just securing it and getting through this negotiation with Wedgwood. And once it's in the Community Land Trust, it will serve the community in perpetuity. So that's really our goal.
Is there a really, from your perspective, highly successful model of a community land trust?
Sure. There are, you know, like you said, there are over 250 in the country. We have, I think, going on about 30 in California and about a dozen in the Bay Area. So really a growing movement. We know that the Champlain Housing Trust in Burlington, Vermont, it was started under the leadership of then Mayor Bernie Sanders. They have several thousand units in the land trust. I think about one-tenth of the housing stock of Burlington is in the community land trust. Certainly the Dudley Street Neighborhood Initiative in the Roxbury neighborhood of Boston is a stellar example of a community really gaining control over a significant portion of the real estate assets in a very defined neighborhood and really governing the equitable development of what happens in that neighborhood so it serves existing residents and the long-term benefit of the community.
And I mentioned locally the one in Mesmerin. They're actually it's called Clam.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and they're talking – the difference there, for example, is they're sprinkled throughout. It's not a single kind of development. That's what you foresee for Oakland?
Yeah, we've – since our founding 10 years ago, we've been focused on small site, scattered site development, really with a key intent on preserving existing housing. Our organization came out of the foreclosure crisis and really trying to gain community control over many of those homes that were foreclosed and abandoned. More recently, we've been focused on preserving occupied housing where tenants are actively at risk of being displaced. And so we see the preservation of existing housing as sort of a missing piece in the affordable housing continuum. We have this stock of housing in Oakland that as buildings turn over and are sold, we're seeing tenants being evicted just through market activity, and we really have a role to play in intervening in that process, acquiring those properties and ensuring that they
Again, I guess Steve King, he's executive director of the Oakland Community Land Trust. I wanted this segment to be an explainer to you, so you certainly, if you have questions about community land trusts, are welcome to join us now, but some of you may want to comment on the ongoing situation in Oakland involving Moms for Housing. We invite you to join us now at our toll-free number, and you can do that by calling in at 866-733-6786. The number again for your calls is 866-733-6786, or get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions or comments you might have to forum@kqed.org. And I'm looking at some emails here. Clarice says, why would the Community Land Trust buy a full-priced home from this group rather than buy a foreclosure and fix it up?
That's a good question. I mean, there's certainly a community priority on this specific home. We, as a nonprofit organization, really have difficulty competing in the foreclosure auctions. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, organizations like Wedgewood that are highly capitalized and have cash can act at, on the steps of the courthouse and buy those properties as a small nonprofit organization or even as a first-time home buyer. Those opportunities are completely prohibitive for organizations and individuals.
Another listener wants to know, how does the Oakland Community Land Trust ensure that houses get fixed up and don't fall apart?
That's part of our ongoing commitment. We typically renovate homes before individuals or families take ownership of them. And so want to make sure that we're setting up families for success at the outset. And then, you know, after we sell the home to the families, they become homeowners just like any other owner on the conventional
market.
Well,
in some instances, the land is owned by the trust, though.
In every instance, the land is owned
everyone.
By the trust.
Okay.
Yep.
In fact, Aaron writes apropos of that. He says, I'm a little unclear on who owns the actual property. Is it the Oakland Community Land Trust? So now do they become a landlord to renters, or are they determining who will move in and actually pay a mortgage to eventually own the home? Also, if people are unemployed or underemployed, how are they paying rent and or mortgage payments?
Yeah, all good questions. So typically in the work we're doing now where we're preventing displacement, the land trust intervenes and acquires a property, and so the land trust owns the land and the building. Over time, we have a commitment to work with the residents to transition ownership of the housing over to the residents, whether it's a single-family home or a multi-unit building and converting to a form of cooperative ownership.
Are these community do things rise from the bottom up, so to speak, or, again, do they evolve often into professionals playing a more central or integral role?
Well, certainly there's a technical aspect that just in terms of navigating the real estate process that is required. But the work that we do is we really take our cues from community organizing on the ground and resident leadership where it exists to highlight the properties and the situations that are most dire. And that's where we try to
But you become dependent on external funding, don't you, and stipulations for receiving the funding?
Absolutely. As with all nonprofit organizations, we certainly have some earned revenue from the work that we do. But we, absolutely.
Here's a tweet. Daniel tweets, are there private land trusts too, and is a cooperative housing considered a land trust?
Cooperative housing is not necessarily a land trust. We advocate for a model along with several of our community partners that there can be cooperative ownership of housing. So a limited equity housing cooperative, for instance, can own the housing that sits on community land trust land with a 99-year ground lease.
So the Oakland Community Land Trust is going to be working with Wedgewood. What about other developers? What's being developed along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, most of our projects are really come from residents that bring their situations to us. So we're not actively out speculating on, you know, what projects we should acquire.
Well, who's knocking at your doors now?
Well, you're certainly getting a lot of outreach where there's need. The demand is it far surpasses of what we can actually do with our organization. So,
how many in your organization? Personnel?
We have four staff. We've got about 40 properties in Oakland now, a mix of single-family homes, multi-unit housing with community-serving commercial space, some vacant land for urban agriculture, community gardening. So it's really a broad model that we have that's flexible and can really suit community need in terms of land use.
Again, Steve King is Executive Director of Oakland Community Land Trust, and Juan joins us from Oakland. Juan, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. My question's around getting a little bit more clarity on the timeline with this particular property. But, you know, Wedgewood did this dramatic, and the Sheriff's Department did this dramatic eviction, and then pretty quickly afterwards, there was this really positive development that there's going to be an opportunity for the land trust to acquire the house. So I'm curious, like, why the eviction? If they're willing to come to the table and negotiate, why did the tank come in and all these dramatic things happen? And what can other, you know, tenants, organizations, and activists learn from the nuances of that sort of quick turnaround?
I don't know if you can read Wedgewood's mind here, Steve, but I think he's asking, why did they come in?
Well, I mean, I could just say that in mid-December, I reached out directly to Wedgewood, offering to be a sort of intervening third party to begin negotiations with them. At that point, they were unwilling to to speak with us about a possible sale as long as the house was occupied. And we reiterated that offer multiple occasions in December. And unfortunately, the eviction went through in a really traumatic way. And since then, we've stood side by side with Oakland Council members Bass and Kaplan and Kalb and Ace, and really looking for a solution that would be beneficial for the moms.
You mentioned council members. Nikki Fortunato, I think, is trying to include fair chance housing for formerly incarcerated people, isn't she?
Sure. That, yep.
Yeah. All right. Let me thank that caller. Well, we want to know what we've learned from this, or what benefit through this whole experience and what you called the trauma.
Boy, there's a lot to learn. I mean, the incredible, again, the courage and organizing of the moms to highlight the incredible disparities, the violence that we see just on a daily basis of homelessness side by side with vacant properties. It's undeniable that that's...
what this has brought to light, in other words.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me bring another caller to light here. Marcus joins us from San Leandro. Marcus, welcome.
Hi. I just want to address the comment that was mentioned earlier that some people object to this because they've played by the rules, et cetera. Well, here's the rules. You loan money to unsuspecting people and that they cannot pay back. You cause a foreclosure crisis. People get evicted. And you buy houses at rock bottom prices. And now you negotiate to sell that at the appraised value, which is a huge profit. If the land trust pays appraised value for these houses, they are guaranteeing a huge profit for these exploitive companies. They should be negotiating prices that are the price they bought it for plus a small profit, not an extorted profit.
Marcus, thank you. I want to get Steve's response to what you've just said, but let me also go to a tweet here because it really connects with what he just said. This is a listener who says market rate and appraised value aren't the same. Market rate can be much higher and can be much higher than auction and purchase price. Wedgwood bought the house for $501,000, but the land trust is purchasing it for $638,000. Steve?
I don't know where the 638 number comes from. We don't have any numbers on the table yet. But certainly market value in the Bay Area now is, it's magical.
Sky high.
Yeah. It's whatever someone will pay. And we know that the Magnolia House is in awful condition. And so we're hoping that Wedgwood will, again, negotiate in good faith in a way that can transfer the property over to land trust that will enable us to make the property permanently affordable.
Here's Kyle, who writes, tens of thousands of families need homes. The city and community can't afford to even subsidize rents, let alone fully capitalize single-family homes at market prices. This is a feel-good project that doesn't scale at all. And you say what, Steve?
Well, I would say that what our organization and other community land trusts are really trying to scale is community control of land. Certainly, there's a need to build and preserve as many units as we can. Our focus is really creating a model, a more just and equitable model, a model that affords low-income families a stake in their community and ensuring that that is available to subsequent generations and in perpetuity.
Here's Judy, who writes, this is an excellent way to fund affordable housing and should be a model moving forward. I understand that open space is an easier sell, but it seems that large corporations ought to be mandated to contribute to these trusts to acquire land at market or near market rates. And here's Alicia from Fairfield. Alicia, you're on.
Hi. I was born and raised in San Francisco. I'm a first-generation homeowner after my grandparents who migrated from the South, okay? It took all those years for someone like me to buy my first home, but I had to buy it 50 miles away in Solano County. Now that I am a homeowner, I can see the busloads of prospective buyers and real estate brokers traveling through my neighborhood, checking out properties that they can grab, of course. I'm concerned as a homeowner if I should be trying to develop a community land trust as an owner myself, because I feel the wolves all around me.
Okay, Alicia, good to hear from you. Appreciate your call. Steve, you want to comment?
I just say that it's a flexible model that can be utilized in any community, and I think you're seeing Certainly, obviously, what the context is in Oakland of that rampant speculation and really investors trying to capitalize on the speculation that exists.
Let me try to get Mike in here next. Mike, we thank you for waiting. You're on the air, Mike. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I would just like to make a comment kind of on the side that, you know, a lot of working people of color, you know, they work hard, multiple jobs around the area, and we're told quite often, too, hey, if it's too expensive around here, maybe you should leave or move further out. And when you go into to workplaces and talk to average working people, you know, some people say, hey, you know, where's my extra $25,000 or $50,000 to help us with the down payment to get a home? And it just kind of seems like, again, those who are the loudest, who stomp their feet, you know, and go in front of the cameras, kind of get what they want. And there is a bit of, you know, there's sentiment out there amongst all people across racial lines, you know, that, hey, it's kind of unfair that you can just get a home like that when people work for years and years and they're still, quote unquote, priced out of the area. And then we're just told, well, maybe you should relocate.
Mike, I appreciate hearing from you, and I'd like to get Steve King's response as we come up to the end of this hour. I asked Mayor Schaaf essentially that question and said we've been getting a lot of that kind of feedback. What do you say to somebody like Mike?
You know, I don't have a clear answer for Mike. Certainly the demand for the work that we're doing far surpasses what we're able to provide. The resources have just not been allocated to—
Can you understand where he's coming from, though?
I do, but, you know, we're working— you know, as an organization, to create those opportunities for as many people as we can.
Well, appreciate you coming in and joining us this segment, and good luck to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Steve King. He's, again, Executive Director of the Oakland Community Land Trust, and we're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, an hour repeated in the evening, 10 to 11. You can continue this discussion online by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Tina Lauberg, Ariana Prowl, Caroline Smith. Senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our intern is Sam Klein-Markman. Executive editor is Ethan Lindsay. And our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. Thank you for being a part of this morning's program. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.